Oh, hi there. My name is Bonnie Lippincott, mom of two. During the transformation into motherhood, I learned I needed to trust my intuition, forgive myself, and know that I'm growing alongside my children. The title, Entry-Level Mom, is meant to highlight the obvious. We have no formal training, but everything we need is already within our DNA. This podcast is connected to my book, Entry-Level Mom, and the goal is to share honest and vulnerable stories with friends to encourage each other. I hope you enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my friend, Katie Elise. Katie is a mom of twin boys and a military wife. She joins me to share her journey of motherhood and how she has learned to thrive while surviving challenging circumstances. She challenges the notion that we can only thrive when all conditions are perfect. That is not her experience, nor mine. Katie discusses her experience with one of her son's congenital heart defects and subsequent open heart surgeries and all that comes with that. Katie also shares the importance of advocating for children, especially after an autism diagnosis for her boys. She discusses the model of neurodiversity, where a range of differences is viewed as part of the natural human variation. Katie also talks about the goals of her podcast, Thriving While Surviving, which is to create a community for moms with medical needs and neurodivergent children. She emphasizes the significance of community support and self-care practices for staying grounded in the present moment. My guest today is Katie Elise. Katie is a military wife and a mom of two twin boys. She has her own podcast called Thriving While Surviving and is an amazing truth teller and encouraging woman. Welcome, Katie. Thank you for coming on today. Likewise. I think I've listened to your podcast and I love how you share and honor your story. I think as moms, we need connection and it's wonderful the work that you're doing. I love how you break down thriving, which means to work towards a goal and processing emotions in a healthy way and managing mindset. You've also gained tools to regulate and you're able to do that in midst of really tough circumstances. So I really applaud you.
Thank you.
Thank you. My first question is, how did you come to be a mother? How was your pregnancy and delivery? Thank you for sharing. That sounds like a big one surprise after another, is the way you phrased it at the beginning. That sounds about right.
I feel like most of motherhood is probably for most people.
Right. So one of your sons had a congenital heart defect and the other son did not have a congenital heart defect. Is that correct?
Correct. When I was pregnant, they did say that he might have some sort of syndrome because he was really tiny. He was in utero growth restricted. And so that just meant like he wasn't growing as fast as he, you know, should be. He was a lot smaller than the other baby. And so we didn't know what was going to happen, you know, how it would turn out when he came. But he ended up, you know, his heart is fine and he didn't end up having any issues other than, you know, they were born at 34 weeks. So they were premature. And so, you know, had a lot of struggles in the beginning due to that. So he was inpatient, in the hospital for 2 months after he was born. And then Conley, who is the one with the heart condition, he, was there for 4 months after he was born. So lots of things kind of came up because when you have congenital heart defects, it kind of impacts your whole body, impacts all these other things. So like he couldn't safely eat through his mouth because it was too much of a risk for his respiratory system. So they ended up surgically giving him a feeding tube so that he could eat through that. And so that there was that. And then he, you know, had a stroke from one of the PICC lines that he had when he was in the hospital. So it was just, yeah, again, kind of thing after thing like that. But yeah, thankfully he's doing really well right now, but, it was very intense for sure. And that's, you know, I just remember, especially during that time, feeling very much isolated in my experience because I didn't know anyone else. I wasn't expecting that experience at all. You kind of have this idea of what motherhood is going to look like, what your birth is going to look like. I think we all have this idea of what it's going to look like. And then when it doesn't, it kind of throws us off. And so I felt very isolated in that because I didn't know anyone else that had gone through that or was going through that. And that's kind of part of what has led me to what I'm kind of working on now with my podcast and things. So, yeah.
It sounds like you were really surviving in those moments too. I think I applaud you. I can't imagine going through that and your sweet mama heart, you know, watching surgery after surgery and but it's wonderful that your sons are doing great now and you are thriving and the family's thriving. But that's why I think the name of your podcast is so perfect because it's thriving while surviving. And I just really admire you, Katie. I think I'm kind of at a loss for words a little bit, but yeah.
Well,
thank you for sharing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I really struggled with the name of my podcast at first. Because I do feel like society tells us, you know, I don't know, it feels like this polar thing, this dual thing where you're either, you know, you're struggling, you're in survival mode, you know, but then once you reach whatever point, you know, you're kind of looking forward to getting over whatever hurdle or struggle, like then you can thrive. Like once you have all your stuff together, like then you can thrive. And I just really haven't found that to be my experience. I've found that like there's always struggles just in different forms for different phases. And at the same time, like I don't have to have all of those struggles be gone in order for me to find ways to thrive in my own life and take care of myself and, you know, live a full life, I guess. So yeah, that's kind of where that
full body chills. That's so true. Full body chills. I think the idea that we can only thrive when all of our ducks are in a row is a lie. And I think you just hit on something that's so true that you can thrive in. It's not a polar thing. It's not if, when, it's not a switch that needs to flip. Yeah. I think erasing that narrative needs to happen and you're doing that. That's beautiful. So the podcast is the goal is to support moms with children with medical and special needs. So I think you just shared why you started it. And you shared your story, but I think what's another goal of the podcast?
Yeah. So the main goal, you know, when I was in the midst of that, the early stages of when my boys were little, I thought, you know, oh, someday it would be really great to have a podcast where people like me could just share their stories. And then I could, you know, to be able to hear someone else's story that has been through it would just be so uplifting, you know, and that was so long ago. And, you know, life kind of got in the way of that. And, you know, things were busy and chaotic. And now I'm at a place where I can kind of do that. So one part of the podcast is having people on just to have like create a space for them to honor their own stories and then share their stories so that they can connect with others and others can kind of connect with them through that experience and just feel less alone. So that's a big part of it because I think there's so much importance in honoring our stories and kind of taking a step back and looking at what we've gone through. And I think that's a big piece of self-growth and just, yeah, I just think that's really important. And so I think it does both, you know, allow you to really honor your own experience, but also connect with other people and help other people feel less alone in their experience. And then I also like to just share kind of tips and advice for things that I have found helpful personally for finding ways to thrive while I'm surviving, ways that I've been able to adjust my mindset or do some mindset work or learn how to process my emotions in a healthy way or a more full way or just kind of all those things. I don't claim to be any sort of expert on any of those things, but I do think it's helpful when people share their experiences. And so that's kind of the goal of the podcast. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. I think by sharing our experience, it elevates it elevates women's voices, and we can all share in the motherhood journey how the reality never meets expectations. It's not what I thought it would be. It's so much more and different, and I think it also honors your experience by taking a step back and saying, wow, I went through that. I learned this from it, and I can apply that to the next scenario. And if these tips and tricks can help another mom, it's the podcast that you probably needed, you know, 7 years ago. And so I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I just want to create something that I would have been able, you know, that I would have appreciated and benefited from, because I know that there's got to be other moms out there in the same spot or similar situation. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of your podcast episodes talked about neurodivergence. And I know that you educated yourself on neurodivergence, which includes OCD, dyslexia, ADHD, and autism. Can you speak a little bit about that too?
Yeah. So because the boys were born prematurely, we were told, you know, from the very beginning that when you have preemies, they're more at higher risk for developmental delays. So we had them really plugged into helpful services from the time they were really little, like occupational therapy, speech therapy. They did a little bit of physical therapy. And so all of that was through the regional center, which I had no idea about, but a nurse had told us about. So that was a really great, helpful resource for us. And so, yeah, so it was kind of on the radar that, you know, there might be some autism or, you know, some different things going on. And so one of my boys was diagnosed with autism when he was 3. And then the other one was diagnosed last year, I'd say. So when Conley was diagnosed, it was kind of a lot. Like, it wasn't a total surprise or a shock, but it was kind of a lot to process, that diagnosis. And I am the type of person that just like wants all the information. And so I like, well, you know, when I'm interested in something, I'll like read all the books on it or, you know, do all the research or whatever. And so I wanted to know all the things about how I could help my son and what his experience was going to be like and just, you know, whatever I could find. And I'm on Instagram a lot. So I think I was following some like speech language pathologists and just different like kind of early childhood people that have helpful advice and tips. And someone had shared something about neurodivergence and that lens of autism versus like a medical lens of autism. So that was a really interesting perspective to me that I hadn't heard of before. So like, neurodiversity challenges the conception of autism as a medical syndrome defined by functional deficits. And under neurodiversity, autism is seen as just one form of variation within a diversity of minds. So a lot of autistic advocates embrace this model where a range of neurological differences is viewed as like being part of the natural human variation. And so when I was learning about this, I was learning about how important it is to listen to adult autistic voices and learn from their experiences, which makes so much sense to me. I think it's so important to listen to firsthand experiences of people. And so I was just really grateful to come across that and learn about what neurodiversity is and kind of this different perspective on autism and just that experience.
It's amazing. You're so naturally curious too, to like dig and do all the reading and research. But I have heard that about neurodivergence, that it sees autism as one form of diversity as being part of a natural human variation. I know I just botched what you just said, but no, I think that's a really... It just rings true that all of our brains they're not wired the same. Why would we expect that? And then as I learned about different autism traits, I thought I have some of those traits. And I just think that it's all in the range of the human experience. Or like, our brains are so vast and different and divergent, neurodivergence. Yeah. So thank you for explaining that to me in a deeper way.
I think that our society is very much geared towards a neurotypical experience way of, or a neurotypical way of doing things. And so when you're neurodivergent, I think that it's a lot more difficult, not because there's something inherently wrong with the way you function or the way your brain is wired, but honestly a lot because of just the way society has said, this is the way you need to be doing this or this or this, like forced eye contact during, you know, conversations, which can be really difficult and uncomfortable for people that are autistic, and not everyone, but, you know, some people, and make it even harder to have conversation and stuff. So I'm definitely not an expert. I am still learning. I'm still in the process of always learning about that. So if I've butchered anything, I'm sorry, but I do really try to prioritize a neurodiversity affirming approach when it comes to, you know, the supports that, you know, I advocate for my children, and just kind of the lens through which I view who they are, because it is this central part of their identity that makes up who they are. It's not just something that they have. So that, I mean, that's kind of my perspective, at least.
I noticed that you said that your boys are autistic. They don't have autism. And that's a reframe that I'm learning myself. So partly through your podcast too. And I think that's so important to speak of it that way, that that's part of who they innately are, and it can be celebrated and affirmed. I love that.
Thank you. I think that the language is always changing, and everybody has different views on kind of the best way to word it. But I have heard, the reason I intentionally say that they're autistic and not they have autism is like, that's just a personal choice. But I have heard many autistic adults say that they prefer being called autistic. They prefer identity first language? I'm totally drawing a blank. There's a name for it. If it's like identity first language or person, I think it's identity first language, but they prefer saying I am autistic because they consider it to be this central part of who they are. That's not like not something you can change or extract from who, like it's just part of how they're wired, as opposed to like having autism, like having a disorder of sorts, you know? So everyone, I mean, I think, especially if you are autistic yourself, it's a personal choice, and you know, not everyone goes by the same way, but that's just what I've heard. So that's kind of how I phrase it, but yeah.
And I think that's so wise that, I mean, moms are kids' best advocates. So you're such a wonderful advocate for your sons and listening to adult voices too. That's smart. That's really, really cool.
Thank you. They're going to be adults someday. And so, you know, I just want to make sure that I've done everything I can to, you know, help them feel affirmed in who they are and supported and accepted and loved exactly the way they are. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. My next question is, what has motherhood taught you?
Gosh, that's a big one. I feel like it's taught me so much. I will say that motherhood has taught me how resilient and strong I am. I've been through things as a mother that, you know, sometimes I think feel impossible or, you know, just are huge struggles. And yet I've been able to survive those things and be okay. And so it's really reminded me of my resilience. So whenever I'm facing something that feels daunting or overwhelming, I kind of come back to my identity as a mom to remind myself, like, no, I am resilient and I have been through so many things and I can get through this too. So, that's one. I've learned how to be an advocate for both my children and other people and myself. I think especially with the medical piece and my kids being neurodivergent and just like having to learn how to advocate for them both in the medical setting and the educational setting. I think you know, it's partially that mama drive, like mama bear drive, where you're like, I'm going to do anything to make sure my kid gets what my kid needs and that my kid is okay. And some of that feels natural, but some of it doesn't. Like, I feel like I've had to come to terms with the fact that, like, I'm more of a people pleaser than I realized. I didn't used to think I was a people pleaser, but then you get in these situations where you kind of have to speak up or confront someone to make sure that your kid is getting what they need. And you kind of have to develop and build these skills, advocacy skills. And I think that they're helpful for yourself too, because, like, in some ways it almost feels easier to advocate for your kids, but then we forget to advocate for our own selves when we need to take care of ourselves or when we need to draw boundaries or, you know, these different things. And I think it's so important to model for our kids that self-care and that, you know, taking up the space that we need for ourselves too, so that they can learn how to take good care of themselves. So I feel like I'm rambling a little bit. There's lots of things I've learned as a mom, but those are kind of the main two main things that stand out to me.
What you said was so true, that we've survived 100% of our darkest days, and how resilient you are. You're so resilient, and so am I, and so is everyone listening, and we're stronger than we think we are. And And also the mama drive, that's so true, how it can be easier to advocate for our kids, but sometimes with the people pleaser in that's been conditioned into me too, that it's hard to advocate for myself too. And I think if you also, one thing you mentioned on one of your podcasts was the Mothers Together group, that the support group that you had found with moms going through similar experiences. So I think about like leaning on each other too. How, I guess that sort of relates to the self-care aspect. That's why I brought that up, but
yeah, that was a huge, that was such a huge thing in my journey as a mom, is finding other women that understand my experience. You know, like, no one has my exact unique experience as a mom, but when you have these different things that are kind of make you feel set apart from the typical mom experience or parenting experience, like whether that's like the medical things or, you know, learning how to support your kid who's autistic and maybe having lots of meltdowns or struggling in a lot of these different unique ways, it can feel like, what is going on? Like, this is not the norm. I don't know. You know, it just, again, it's very isolating. And so it was such a blessing to find these other women that kind of just get it, you know, and that can say, hey, I see you. I see what you're going through. I get it. And you're not alone in this. And so it doesn't necessarily make things, you know, easier in the situation itself, but in a way it helps to have that just group of people you can lean on to be seen and that are there to support you. So, yeah.
That's really beautiful. Community is so important.
It is. And it's not something that comes naturally to me. I feel like I am very much an introverted person. I, you know, it's not easy to make a friend as an adult, or at least as an introvert for me. You know, my husband's in the military, so we've moved around a lot. So it's not something that comes naturally. So I definitely had to push myself a little bit outside of my comfort zone to find those friends. And I never, honestly, in a million years imagined I would find a group of friends where we actually just like clicked, all of us, so well, and that just kind of got it, you know? And so I guess it's just a reminder to myself that I need to trust that, you know, if I am doing the work of showing up and putting myself out there, that like it will, the right people will come along in my path, you know? And I think that's easy to forget when you don't have that. So I hope that anyone that's out there listening knows that like your people are out there, you know, and it might feel impossible to find them, but just keep putting one foot in front of the other and like it'll happen, you know.
Mm-hmm. Full body chills again, Katie. Beautiful. My last question is, what would you tell your younger self?
Well, first, I would tell my younger self that it's it's all going to be okay, even though it doesn't look like what you thought it was going to look like. I mean, we kind of touched on this a little bit, but I think it's so easy. I've noticed this with my friends' experiences too. I think we have this idea in our head that of what being a mom is going to look like, of what having kids is going to look like. And it can look so drastically different from what we expected, I'd say. And, you know, there's the good and there's the good times and the hard times, but like throughout it all, it's going to be okay. Cause I think that there's definitely times where I felt like, oh my gosh, like what is happening? I'm not going to be okay. So that is something I would tell myself. And then the other thing is I would tell myself to find practices that help me stay grounded in the present moment, because I really struggle with staying in the present moment. It's easier. I've always been very much like a future oriented, focused person. And then when you're going through these, you know, kind of struggles and hard times, I think it's so easy to just feel like, oh, once we get over through that surgery, it's everything's going to be okay. Or, you know, once we're done with teething, or once my kids sleep, or, you know, there's all the things where you feel like, okay, once we get over that hurdle, then I can breathe and it'll be okay. And then that's a survival, like a coping mechanism, really. Like sometimes we're just doing what we have to do to get through it. But I think that when I'm in that mindset a lot, it robs me of fully living in the present and kind of allowing myself to have that full range of emotions. So I don't know if I'm making sense. It's not like a, you know, when do you hear like when you're in the grocery store and you have young children and they're like screaming their heads off and you're like trying to get out of the store and you're running on 2 hours of sleep and you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm not okay. Like what's going on? And then someone in line behind you is like, oh, enjoy every minute of it. Like it's going to be gone. You know, it's going to be gone faster than you know. Enjoy every minute of it. And it's like, I know those are always like well-intentioned comments, but I feel like they can add this like sense of guilt on top of, you know, you're struggling. And then all of a sudden you feel guilty because you're like, oh, I'm not enjoying this. Like I should be enjoying this, you know, when you're just barely making it. I wouldn't tell my younger self, like, you need to be more present. You need to like, because I think I was doing the best I could with what I had. And I think everybody is doing the best they can with what they have. But I do think that there are practices and things we can do to be more grounded in the present moment. And I wish that I had had some of those practices when I was a younger mom. Does that make sense? Makes sense.
It does. It does. I love how you said that you tell yourself you'll be okay. And also grounding in the present moment, that you were a future oriented person, but certain practices help you ground in the present moment and feel the full range of emotions here and now. What's an example, or what's one practice that's working lately that you like to do?
Yeah. I have really been enjoying yoga lately. It's something that I have done off and on, like not always very consistently, since I think it was before the boys were born, but it's one of those things where it really helps me stay in the present because you're so focused on your breath and like the movement. And it's always been something that I've done more for my like mental health and emotional health than anything else, because it's gotten me to just be in the moment and kind of take a step away from the kind of anxious, crazy thoughts that sometimes, you know, you can't push out of your head. So that's something that I have been really enjoying, and breath work, which I mean kind of ties into the yoga. Taking time to write or journal, which again I'm not always doing as much as I would like to be, but I think kind of those self-care practices, even if it's just something like really small, like maybe you can't fit in going to a yoga class in a studio, but like you could find, you know, a couple minutes to like breathe in the car and just like have that space. So those are some of the things that have helped me, but I think it's different for everyone, you know?
I like the breathing exercises too. I do the box breathing where you breathe in four, hold it four, breathe out four, hold it four, you know. And then like a polar plunge will help me too. We have a
Oh,
ice bath in the
yeah.
backyard. It helps.
Oh, you
But it's
do?
so true. Motherhood, we do. It's just like a feeding trough that we filled with ice.
Okay, yeah.
But it works to elevate our moods and definitely stay in the present moment because it hurts so much. But the present moment is, it's so elusive. And for me, I struggle with being in the past and the future. So when I'm in the past, I feel depressed. And when I'm in the future, I feel anxious. And I think, why
Yeah.
can't I just, and it is a practice and it's a muscle, just like it is a muscle to build community. It's outside of our comfort zone and
Yeah.
it's outside of our habits. But these are very crucial, critical habits that help the whole family if mommy can stay in the present moment and model that for our children too, not ruminating over a mistake or worrying about an upcoming future situation. So that's very, very wise. You're so inspirational, Katie. Thank
Well,
you.
thank you. I don't do any of this perfectly or practice it perfectly, but it's something that I try to do, you know, and I think none of us do these things perfectly, but it's helpful to know what are those things that I can come back to draw myself more in, yeah, into the present moment so that I'm really living my life and not looking back someday and being like, oh man, like I missed it because I was so focused on the future or ruminating on the past, like you said. Like, and I think that's interesting that, you know, that can kind of show up in ways that look like anxiety or depression or, you know, just all of it, the full range. So.
Where can people find you? You said
Yeah,
you're on
so
Instagram a lot.
I am on Instagram. My Instagram handle is I am Katie Elise. You can find me on my podcast, which is Thriving While Surviving, and that's on Apple and Spotify and YouTube. And yeah, I'm really in the early stages of developing both the podcast and some of these things. I'm working on some resources for moms that have kids with medical needs or special needs, but I have a lot of exciting stuff that I'm looking forward to creating and sharing. So I really, really appreciate you just creating this space to talk to other moms and let me share a bit of my journey with you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for listening. I believe by speaking honestly on all topics surrounding motherhood, it sheds love and light to them and is useful to parents. We are all in this together. Books by BonnieLippincott.com has links to my social media pages, and it's where you can buy a copy of Entry Level Mom Book or my other books. My goal is to have a new podcast episode published every Wednesday for that midweek pick-me-up. If you enjoyed an episode, please share it with a friend or post it on social media. As always, please remember to be kind to yourself.